I'd like to read right in the very middle of your Bible tonight, in the prophecy of Jeremiah. It's a prophecy that's very little read today, but there are many things about this man Jeremiah that remind us of the Savior himself. He was the prophet of tears and the prophet of compassion. And so we'll read a little in the 13th chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah. I want to read a number of questions here and make a few remarks at the beginning. Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Now look down at verse 27 here, and the last sentence or two. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem, wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Now one final question in verse 21. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of this portion of the Word of God. One of the ways that educators use to impart knowledge is by asking leading questions. And I've been impressed that scattered right through the Word of God, since the first question was ever asked of man by God in the garden, when God came down in the cool of the day and found that Adam was not in his usual place, awaiting the voice to commune with God in the garden, God called through that garden, Adam, where art thou? And that first leading question immediately brought home to the heart of our first parent that he had gone far away from God. He was at a distance. It was a question that located him at the distance from God. Now the Lord Jesus asked questions when he was here. But in this wonderful book that I have read from, the prophecy of Jeremiah, there are a number of questions that gospel preachers have used and applied. They were very solemn in the days of the prophet himself when he asked the question of the people to whom he spake. But they are still questions, leading questions, that bring home great truths that we want to impress upon human hearts. There are three truths that we must always preach when we come to the preaching of the gospel. And the first is to impress upon our hearers their need of salvation. No one will ever be saved until first of all he learns his lost condition in the sight of God. A man that's able to swim out in the channel has no need of a lifeboat. But when he's going down drowning in the water, he will be glad of a life belt or glad of one to save his life. And no one will ever think about being saved until he learns first his ruined condition in the sight of God. And so I have read a question, first of all, to impress upon the hearts of my hearers tonight the ruin in which they find themselves. And here's the question. It's one that will be impressed upon your mind, I trust, if you forget all else that I shall say tonight. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? And of course the answer immediately is, the youngest can see, no, it's absolutely impossible. Then may you do good that are accustomed to do evil. It's absolutely impossible for a man in his natural condition to do anything to change his nature. And if you're a sinner, what you need is a new nature. You need to be born again. And so the first question is the question of human ruin. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Now notice here the two wonderful objects that are presented to us in this text, an Ethiopian, black and dark, an Ethiopian. And on the other side, we have the leopard with its spots upon it. And God would point to these two object lessons, and he would say, can this Ethiopian change his skin? And then, can the leopard change his spots? And of course, the answer is no immediately. It's impossible. And then the application is, no more can a sinner change his ways, or blot out his iniquity, or cancel the spots of sin by anything that he can do. Now, why is that Ethiopian black? It is his nature. He was born that way. And why are these spots upon the leopard? It's the nature of the leopard. And so it is our nature to sin. One of the most solemn verses in the Bible is this, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You and I entered this world unlike Adam, who appeared in innocence, eh? It was a question whether he would stand or fall. But when we entered into the world, we were ruined by nature, even in the womb of our mother. And the first road we stepped out upon was a road of rebellion and sin. And unless there's a mighty radical change from God that's spoken of as the new birth, we'll never change and we will go on to hell on the lake of fire. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Impossible. Can the leopard change his spots? Impossible. There's no way to erase the spots upon a leopard. When I first came to the United States of America 35 years ago, I was preaching in the conference at Bryn Mawr in Philadelphia, and the brother was taking me along the road to the fire hall there where they have the convention. I was a lot younger than I am now, and likely a little more daring. And as we came along, there was a cleaner there. Of course, I was a young Irishman. I wasn't used to American advertising. But it showed a leopard going in at one end of their establishment with the spots and coming out at the other, and there wasn't a spot upon it. And when I saw it, I said, pull up your car. I've got to meet a man in here. I wanted to read this verse to him. Oh, he said, you can't do that in America. Well, I said, I'd do it in Ireland if I saw an advertisement like that. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And here they were claiming that their cleaning establishment was of such a nature that they could put a leopard in and bring it out without a spot. You know that's absolute nonsense. The leopard cannot change its spots. I never saw a colored or a black boy in Ireland when I was a young fellow. There was no black man in the town where I lived, and I used to long to see a black man. And one day, going to school, I saw a new sign up on the hoarding. It was a picture of a little black boy, and he was in a bath, and he had a brush, and he had a large bar of soap, and he was scrubbing, and it said, I'm scrubbing and rubbing from morning to night, but I'm of the opinion I'll never be white. It was an advertisement for Pear soap, and even Pear soap can't change an Ethiopian. And so can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? He can't do it. He was born that way. Neither can you, who are accustomed to live in sin and practice sin. There's nothing can remove the spots of sin, and nothing that can change your nature on earth. No religion will do it. I knew a boy in Ireland, he was an alcoholic, and he used to come and want to sign a pledge and make a promise that he would never drink again, and he became so earnest one day that he took his pen knife and nipped a vein in his wrist and dipped the pen in it and signed it with his own blood. He might as well have signed it with Parker blue-black ink as far as that was concerned. There was no merits in his blood to cleanse his sin. And I want to tell you right now, there's nothing in this world, all the religions put together, and all the ordinances ever invented, and all the water that ever flowed, and all the baptismal fonts in Christendom, nothing can wash away a stain of human guilt or change a sinner on the way to hell. Well, we love that old hymn, "What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I'm so glad tonight that we are here to give you the question of cleansing, the question of guilt and sin. Very clear, but we have the question of cleansing here. Wilt thou be made clean? Verse 27. Wilt thou be made clean? You say, yes, I would. I would desire that my sins would be forgiven. And if you're in that attitude and you can see that you have a long career of sin, and remember, God has a record. Every one of us here have a past. Thank God my past has been blotted out. The old account is settled long ago. But if you're here and you've never been born again, and you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, your sins are piling up and piling up. And if they're not forgiven, and you die tonight, you'll waken up in hell itself. And there is a real hell. We're living in an age when people are poo-pooing the idea. And when religion, in the religious world, people will tell you, it's not near so bad. We are here to tell you the words of the Savior. He said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. You're facing the sin question in these meetings every night. You've got to have your sins forgiven. Now, wilt thou be made clean? Is there anyone here that will say, yes, I have a sin question, I have a problem, my sins are many, and I need to be cleansed, and I need to be forgiven. What must I do to be saved? Well, we are so glad to tell you that there is a way of cleansing. And that way of cleansing is not by paying money. If you go to a gospel tent, or if you go to hear people preaching the gospel, and they sing a soft chorus and pass a bag, get up and leave. I've been preaching now for 44 years in 67 tents, and I have never asked an audience for a penny in my life. In fact, I've refused money many, many times from people I didn't know. We're not here for money. You know, the whole world and all the testimony has been ruined by men demanding money from the unconverted. Many years ago, I had a tent like this, and I pitched it on a piece of ground. The man was an unconverted man, but he rented me the ground. And then at the end, he said, I don't want to take anything from you. I said, I pay my way to pay our rent. Well, he came every night to the meeting, and he heard me say there was no collection. We wanted nothing from anybody. We didn't believe in it. And anybody that has that kind of thing, he should go and learn that the gospel's free before he stands up to preach it. And so when I was gone, there were two preachers came down the road, and they went to him and they said, we want to rent your ground. Well, he said, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you men lift offerings? Oh, yes, we lift. How are we going to live? We don't lift offerings. Well, see, you're not getting my ground. The big man that was here before you said, if any man came like that, I shouldn't give him the ground. So I wasn't well liked in that community. We're here to tell you that money can't buy it. And we're not interested in getting you to join anything. My business here and our business here is to see a sinner cleansed from his sin and fit for heaven if we never meet you again. And we meet you in heaven when the journey's done. That's what we're after. We're soul winners, and we're anxious to see people getting to know Christ as their personal Savior. You say to me, what must I do to be saved? You do absolutely nothing. Nothing. Why? Because all was done before you were even born. I'm glad the difference between what we preach and what many are preaching is two letters. In the religious world, many of them are telling people to do something. Do, work, pray, give. Gospel we preach is dumb. D-O-N-E. On Calvary's cruel cross, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, He died for guilty sinners. And there on that tree, He made the provision and paid the penalty for sin and shed His atoning blood. And that precious blood can make the vilest clean. Wilt thou be made clean? You can be cleansed tonight from every sin. You can come into this tent, degradated, sinful, wretched, a long life of iniquity behind you. And God knows it all. I will set them in order before your eyes, the 50th Psalm. And when you go to the judgment day, if you're unforgiven, all your sins will have to be faced. Everyone. But what you can do is face them tonight in the tent and say like the publican in Luke 18, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm a sinner and I need salvation. And that salvation lies in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that flowed at Calvary's middle cross. His life was given. When that blood flowed, what I learn is this, He laid down His life for the sheep. He died for the ungodly. The gospel is all about a substitutionary sacrifice. It's the gospel of replacement, that one was willing to die for me. We sang that lovely hymn the other night. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross He was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. How do you get saved tonight? Believe on the Lord Jesus that He died for a sinner like me on Calvary and shed His precious blood. And that blood washes away the vilest sin. Can rise out of this tent and go out tonight through the flap of this old tent and home to your home, clean every whit, not a spot His eye can trace or ought to mar a work of grace. Every sin forgiven, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee, was ever better news falling on human ears. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, 1 John 1:7, cleanseth us from all sin. Wilt thou be made clean? You say, yes, I would. I would desire to have my nature changed, to be rid of my sins forever, to have a peaceful conscience, to lie down in my bed and be able to sing peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers, peace with them. Wilt thou be made clean? When shall it once be? When will it be? I'll tell you, the night you'll be saved is the night that you can't go another step, that you will say, I've wasted long enough in my sins, and the meetings are soon going by, and the preachers are talking about leaving, and the pegs will be pulled and wrapped up, and we'll be gone. When wilt thou haste to be saved? The time to be saved is not tomorrow evening. The time to be saved is not when you go home. We're glad for those that are anxious to be saved here. We're so thankful for some of the ones that are concerned and desirous of being saved. And you want to be saved. If I were to say, do you really want to be saved? You say, yes, I want to be saved. When do you want to be saved? The day that you will be saved is the day that you will say, I want to be saved right now, tonight. For eternity in this tent, I want to have it settled this Monday night. How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Don't need to wait behind. Raise your hand. Walk to the front. Sign a pledge. Get baptized. Salvation is in the heart, not in the head. It is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If thou believest with all thine heart that Christ died on that rugged cross at Calvary for a sinner like me, and I believe I'm the sinner for whom he died, and I trust him right now for time and for all eternity, you'll never go to hell. The Bible says he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It means he has it for time and for all eternity. And listen to the last question. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? You know one thing that we have always done, and Brother Crawford is of the same mind as myself, and we've been preaching almost the same length of time, and both of us went to preach when we were boys in our 20 years of age, to preach the gospel. We've been doing it all those years. There's one thing we both believe in. Absolutely. What's that? That when we leave a district, our hands will be clean. That no sinner will ever go to the judgment bar of God and say, there were men that came and they didn't tell me the truth. I know there's not a man will ever accuse me to God that I didn't tell him the truth. That he's going down into the lake of fire. No person that ever attended our meeting will go away saying, I never heard I was a sinner. And I never heard that Christ died on that lonely hell at Calvary for a sinner like me. And that faith alone in Christ would save me. I needed no works or prayers or penance or tears, or any water or any ordinance, purgatory or confession to save my soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And I heard that in that tent. I heard those men preaching. The multitude standing at the bar of God that won't have a word to say. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? You'll not be able to say, I never heard the gospel. You'll not be able to say, I never heard John 3:16. You'll not be able to say, I went to meetings and I was entertained. For much of the religious world, it's a large entertainment. Much of the religious world, even fundamentalism, is a great concert today. We're not here to entertain you on the way to the fire. We're not here to lullaby you to sleep on the way to hell in the lake of fire if you're not saved, young man. You'll perish forever on the wrong side of that fixed pole. Everyone here that's heard of Christ, you're in danger of going down to a real hell of fire, where the worm will never die and the fire shall never be quenched, and where it's for all eternity. It never ends. And we are here to tell you that God loves you tonight, and Christ has died on the middle cross, and you must be saved. You must be saved to wear that crown, to wear that starry, starry crown. And if you die without salvation, heaven you'll never see. What wilt thou say? Shall punish thee. Oh, may God help our brother as he goes on to carry the battle to the gate, that someone might have it settled this solemn Monday night for Christ's sake.